Now let's come to order, folks. It's town hall tonight.
An hour of smiles in town hall tonight, folks. 60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Sal Hepatica. Ipana for the smile of duty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. Music with Peter Van Steeden. New songs, new laughs. It's Town Hall tonight. Well, sir, the old Town Hall is jammed to the murals, folks. Peter just has room enough to raise his baton, and the overture is rock and roll. Gentlemen, April showers may bring May flowers.
And April showers.
But they also bring us a lot of other things that are all wet. And here's one of them, that old drip, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for that liquid introduction, Mr. Von Zell.
Oh, that's all right, Fred. Don't mention it.
Yes, I am going to mention it, Harry.
Oh, no.
A fine, leaky send-off, I must say. If I'm that wet, I certainly must look like a puddle standing on end here at the moment.
Well, look, I was only trying to get a laugh to...
Say, Harry.
And here's your laugh. Pewter Van Steeden.
I'm not talking to you, Alan.
Your emphatic statement, Mr. Van Steeden, is met at this end with a gale of utter indifference, I might say.
Pete, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm bringing a guest star over for my Tuesday night program for men only, Harry.
No kidding.
Yes, we can use some laughs on this program. So I've got Georgie Jessel coming over later. Announce him, will you?
Oh, well, I don't know about that, Pete. I'll have to ask Fred. Fred, can I...
No.
Now, listen, Alan. Georgie Jessel is my guest here tonight, and you better announce him.
No.
But Georgie and I are on for men only.
I don't care if you're both out on bail from the Court of Human Relations. The answer is still no. Now, you go back and join in the knot holes on your podium there.
Oh, fuzz.
And now, after Mr. Van Steeden's peachy exit, oh fuzz, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to the latest news of the week. You haven't anything more to say, have you? Why don't you go away from here? You're showing off that tuxedo. You're just hanging around so people can see the other side of it now. Well, we turn now to the latest news of the week. Where's the fanfare, Mr. Van Steeden?
No, Jessel, no fanfare.
All right, Stickler. I'll give my own fanfare. The Town Hall News sees nothing, shows all. New York, we can do away with all the musicians if my voice clears up. A little humming between numbers is certainly better than some of the music we're getting here. New York City, New York. Actors Equity Association appeals to Mayor LaGuardia and Hotel Association of New York for protection of actors against wholesale eviction during the World's Fair. equity claims, changing hotels' weekly rates to advanced daily rates will force many actors to leave their quarters in the theatrical district. Town Hall News gets reactions of hotel men and theatrical folk to increased room rates. First, hotel owner Holden Baggs. Is your hotel raising its rates for the World's Fair, Mr. Baggs?
No, I'm cutting rates.
Really?
Yeah, actors don't pay their bills anyway. If I cut my rates, I'll be losing less money.
Smart business, I must say. Oh, are you an elk, Mr. Baggs?
Huh? Oh, no. That's a piece of macaroni must have dropped to my vest at dinner.
Oh, I see. Probably a hole in your napkin. Miss Phoebe Bush, bearded lady with the circus, has issued a warning to her hotel.
I'm living at the Cucaracha Plaza.
The Cucaracha?
And they ain't kidding.
Are you a guest, or are you with the...
I ain't kidding either. Well, they tried to raise my rate, so I went right to the manager.
You told him off, huh?
I says, I'm only a bearded lady, but if my rates are raised, I'm getting shaved and moving to the Martha Washington.
An actor who isn't worried about hotel rates is the circus rubber man, Tommaso Bound.
I ain't paying a cent more for my robe. I'm sitting tight. Won't do the hotel no good to throw me out.
Why not?
I'm a rubber man. I'll bounce back in again. You get it?
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. You got it? Now what are you going to do with it?
Well, that's my problem. Get away from here, will you? If the hotel rates do affect the theatrical profession, Town Hall News show how thespians may solve accommodation problem for actors this summer. The scene, the front door of Ma Brody's theatrical rooming house. A meek, tattered little novelty actor presses the bell.
Well?
Any room, sir? I'm an actor.
I'm full up. World's Fair people. Backyard's full of trailers.
Yeah, but I gotta get a room.
Well, I got one actor living here. He's renting parts of his room to the other actors.
Can I try him?
Oh, sure. Muldoon.
Calling me, Mrs. Brody?
Yeah, Muldoon. This actor wants lodging.
Well, thanks, Ma. Come in, bud.
Okay.
An actor, are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm opening at Lowy State Labor Day.
Laying off the next 5 months, huh?
Yeah.
Now, let me see where I can put you.
I just want a place to sleep.
Well, the World's Fair's in town. I'm pretty crowded.
You only got this one room?
Yeah, me and the wife sleeps in the bed.
Uh-huh.
Walters and Kelso, the blackface acts in that corner.
Uh-huh.
Calvet, the female impersonator's in the other corner.
Well, what about under the bed?
I got a swing band under there for the summer. And there's 12 midgets sleeping in them three drawers in the bureau.
Hey, how about the bathtub?
No, Greenberg and his trained seals living in there. Brown and Canada, the happy chappies, are sleeping in the closet.
Hey, what about the shelf?
That's all I got open, bud. Yeah, you can have the shelf in the closet.
Oh, thanks.
It's $1 a month.
Hey, yeah.
Okay, look, now, before you get up there, let's get one thing understood.
Yeah?
Don't let me catch you sneaking no friends up there, or out you go.
Portland, Maine. A distinguished board... Can he bring a moth in, mister? Portland, Maine. A distinguished board of clam chowder gourmets assembled to judge the merits of old-fashioned New England plain clam chowder versus the Manhattan or New York clam chowder made with tomatoes. Town Hall News shows actual contest that settled the age-old chowder question. Is the tomato mightier than the clam? The contest opens.
Thank you. The chowders are ready, folks. Now, if the judge will kindly step up.
Where's my spoon?
Wait till I introduce you.
Oh.
Folks, I'm presenting the famous chowder judge, Mr. Walter Watt.
Well, thank you, folks. Where's my spoon?
Keep your shirt on, Judge.
Is that my shirt sticking out there?
No, that's your napkin.
Oh, well, where's my spoon?
Here you are, Judge.
Well, thanks. Now, which chowder is which?
Well, this chowder here is tomato. And this chowder here is the clam.
Yes, okay.
Quiet, folks. The judge is dipping in his ladle.
Okay, Judge. Now the other one.
Yes, okay.
And the winner, Jack. Is it the tomato or the clam?
The clam wins by a neck.
Washington, D.C. Bureau of Foreign and Domestic Commerce of the Department of Commerce is confronted with a paper shortage. Bureau, which issues circulars, bulletins, and lists of commercial information, is nearing the end of its paper appropriation for the fiscal year and has no money in sight to buy more. Town Hall News interviews a Bureau worker on the aspects of this paper shortage. Tell me, Mr. Paup, how is your Bureau coping with this paper shortage?
Well, we're printing all our releases in small type and abbreviating all the words.
Well, how is it working out?
Okay. Circulars are being cut down to six. Information lists come off the presses. Info.
And government bulletins are coming out as...
just plain bull.
Thank you. Stanhope, New Jersey. Man attending Lakeland Post Veterans of Foreign Wars dinner finds 11 pearls in the first oyster he opens during his 65-cent meal. Town Hall News interviews a lucky diner to get his reaction to his gastronomic good fortune. Well, what happened, Mr. Flug?
Nothing. Just opened the oyster and there there was 11 pearls.
Well, did you leave your dinner after this stroke of luck?
Nope. Kept right on eating.
Well, did you have any more good fortune during your meal?
Yep. When I come to the salad dressing, I struck oil.
Dear. Hollywood, California. 20th Century Fox releases Darrell F. Zanuck production of the story of Alexander Graham Bell, bringing motion picture public the first dramatization of the life of the inventor of the telephone. Town Hall News brings you its digest version of this outstanding picture, the story of Bell. Once there was a man named... who fell in love with the village. Well, he married her, this making. But life was not yet complete. He invented the telephone, which rang the... and made him famous. And Mr. and Mrs. lived happily ever after, surrounded by lots of little... You are now our town hall favorites, ladies and gentlemen, who have picked up a part-time job working in Frank Fay's swell show, Sing Mean to Me.
Mean to me, why must you be mean to me? Gee, honey, it seems to me you love to see me crying. I don't know why I stay home each night when you say you'll phone. Don't, and I'm left alone, singing the blues and sighing. You treat me coldly each day in the year. You always scold me whenever somebody is near, dear. It must be great fun to be mean to me. You shouldn't, for can't you see what you mean to me?
Television just around the corner, ladies and gentlemen, a radio actor's repertoire will have to include a lot more than script reading. So I've been taking a correspondence school course in ground and lofty mind reading, just in case. Now, with the help of Herschel here, I'd like to show you just what you may be in for. Are you ready, Harry?
Yes, ready, Fred. A gentleman has just given me something from his vest pocket. Now concentrate. Don't blot your fair reputation. Get it right. Depending on you.
Could it be, a fountain pen?
That is correct. Absolutely correct. Now, what is this object here? Watch out. I'm only going to give you a few seconds to face this one, so you can't take your time.
Could it be a giant baby panda?
Oh.
No. Wait a minute. It's a watch.
Amazing.
Yes, it is.
Now, here is a difficult one. Here is your chance to win an audience with your sparkling brilliance. A chance to make friends and help yourself to popularity. Just brush aside the question, to be or not to be. Now, what is it?
Sparkling brilliance,
a tube
of Ipana toothpaste.
That is correct. And ladies and gentlemen, to help you achieve a radiant smile you can be proud of, Ipana toothpaste is absolutely correct. Because Ipana is especially made not only to give your teeth the sparkling cleanliness, but when used with massage to help give your gums the exercise and stimulation they need for firmness and health. And since teeth are seldom bright and lustrous, when gums are soft and tender, many dentists advise this easy modern routine.
Brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste. And every time you do, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or your fingertip and massage it on your gums.
And the very first time you use Ipana this way, ladies and gentlemen, you notice a remarkable and unique difference. You actually feel a pleasant tingling sensation in your gum tissues as circulation speeds up and lazy gums start to waken. So you know that you're helping your gums to greater health. And naturally, helping yourself to a more attractive smile. But let your mirror tell you what the daily use of Ipana means. Get an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste from your druggist tomorrow.
Steeden and his Ipana troubadours have just played Singing in the Rain from the Big Forecast of 1939. And now wait a minute. I had another joke. A joke comes to me occasionally. Just because you got a little short line, you're butting in, something might happen here. Singing in the Rain. I was merely going to say it's the April theme song. I'm sorry I brought the whole thing up. I should have let you gone on. A musician knows more than an actor. Anytime, go ahead.
Well, what about Georgie Jessel?
I told you no, Van Steeden. No, I said.
Oh, fuzz.
And now, who writes for him? Get the name of that book. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect me.
It wouldn't be Georgie Jessel, would it, Fred?
What is this, a conspiracy? Georgie Jessel has nothing to do with our guest of the evening. Our guest tonight is a ferry boat captain, Harry.
No, it is. Now, go away.
A ferry boat captain, one of the oldest skippers defying the indolent waters of the Hudson River. He has never sailed up or down the Hudson, but he has sailed across the Hudson so many times that he has practically worn a rut in that well-known river. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I know you didn't expect to meet Captain John J. McCabe. Good evening, Captain McCabe.
Good evening, Fred.
Now, Uncle Jim tells me, Captain, that you are one of the best pilots along the river.
That's not for me to say, Fred. Uncle Jim did make a couple of trips with me.
Oh, yes. I remember the night he came back, Captain. Uncle Jim was wobbling around a little, testing gravity as he tried to navigate. Jim said it was sea legs, but I think after he left your ferry that night, he must have launched 8 or 9 schooners by himself.
I wouldn't know, Fred. I stick to the water.
Naturally. And what course does your ferry boat ply, Captain?
I run between 125th Street, New York, and Edgewater, New Jersey.
And how long have you been making these two ports?
33 years.
Well, you've seen a lot of Hudson pass under your stern, haven't you? Is that the only run you've ever made?
No, years ago I run one of the 23rd Street boats. I've been ferrying for 42 years in all.
42 years. I guess you've seen many, many changes on the Hudson.
Yes, I've seen things come and go. I remember the big Hoboken fire in 1900 and the Hudson Fulton celebration in 1908.
I guess you can even remember back when people in Jersey thought Hague was a city in Holland. Today they think Holland is a hole under the Hudson. You see, even an aperture in a river gets applause on some of the shows, Captain. Now, how long have ferries been crossing the Hudson, Captain McCabe?
I think the first steam propeller ferry started back in 1811. It ran between New York and Hoboken.
1811, that is true. You know, my grandfather used to live in Hoboken years ago. He had a small duplex shanty right at the water's edge. Well, he used to tell about the first day the ferry ever ran. My grandmother really saw it first. Grandma was standing out back in the garden. Well, sir, she came running into the house, lickety-split, and said, "There's a ferry at the bottom of our garden." Years later... We don't mind waiting if you'll only tell us... Captain and I, you don't mind waiting if they'll tell us their intentions, do you? Well, years later, my godmother got a job on the docks there at Hoboken, Captain, coiling horses. She was my ferry godmother.
Mighty interesting, Fred.
Yes, I guess it is, if you care for that sort of thing, Captain. But tell me, has the new George Washington Bridge cut into your ferry business up north there at 125th Street?
Well, it did at first, but we've picked up a lot lately.
Are your rates cheaper than the bridge tolls?
Yes. We have a slogan about our rates.
Oh, a nautical slogan, huh? What is it?
When crossing the water, save a quarter. Use the 125th Street Ferry.
Hey, that's not bad. Very good. Yes, sir, you're really the Edgar Guest of uptown, Captain. I can tell by that reaction. And that's not a bad jingle, either. You know, comedians could use slogans like that in radio. For instance, for fun by the gallon, tune in on Alan. Or be one of the many, don't listen to Benny. You see how surprised Uncle Jim was after hearing it 20 times in rehearsal? Didn't understand it the first 19 times. Well, how long does it take to make a round trip on your uptown Queen Mary, Captain?
About half an hour.
And how many trips do you make a day?
22.
22 half hours. You put in an 11-hour sailing day.
Yes, but I only work 4 days a week.
Well, if it's all right with John L., you know, it's all right with me, Captain. Now, what about your boat? Has it got one of those double-talk names, the Salamander Q. Mulligan or something like that?
No, Fred. My boat is named the Thomas N. McCarter, after the president of the Public Service Corporation of New Jersey.
Well, what is the capacity of the Thomas N. McCarter?
We carry 850 passengers, 42 cars, and have a crew of 7.
Well, have you ever thought of pepping up your trips? You know the way those cruises do.
Yes, you mean with a cocktail bar and a ship's concert?
Yes, or floor show, or captain's dinner or something. Or you might get out one of those travel folders. You know, view enchanting 125th Street from the alluring decks of the Thomas N. McCarter. Play shuffleboard and deck tennis as you skim lazily through the flotsam and grapefruit rind. Who knows? Romance may be yours as the cry, "Land ho!" echoes through the silt-filled air. And you disembark on the picturesque old shores of quaint Weehawken.
If ever I put out a folder like that, Fred, my bosses would put me in the booby hatch.
Well, you know, there's one thing about a ferry boat that always puzzles me, Captain.
What is that, Fred?
Now, how can you tell one end of a ferry boat from the other? Now, how do you know at the wheel whether your Thomas N. McCarter is going or coming?
I guess it's a little confusing to you landlubbers, Fred, but the end with the boiler is the bow.
Well, that cleans that up. Now, now about docking a ferry. Which system is better? sliding into the dock clean or the carom shot? You know, making it the hard way off those side logs.
I can't really say, Fred. I've docked so many years, I can make it either way.
Ah, yes. Many a fat lady wishes she could get into her slip as easily as you do. But say, doesn't it get monotonous for you just going from 120th Street to Vicer and from Edgewater to Versa in your ferry? Haven't you ever felt an urge to pull out of 125th Street and make a brisk left turn toward Sandy Hook?
No, Fred. I got a wife and family in Edgewater.
Well, good. Do you think the Thomas N. McCarter could weather an ocean trip?
She might, but I feel a lot better, safer out on the Hudson.
Yes, I know just how you feel, Captain. Many a Wednesday night, I've taken a look at the script and felt that I, too, would be a lot safer out on the Hudson. Does anything ever happen aboard the ferry to add a jigger of zest to your daily routine?
Yes, lots of things happen, Fred. We have had several babies born aboard. One time a passenger leaped overboard.
Rather than go to Jersey?
I don't know what was in his mind, but I stopped the boat and we saved him from drowning.
Well, have you ever had a collision?
No, Fred. Captains on ferries take every precaution.
Yes, I'm sure they do. Now, as a result of your many years of Hudson navigation, Captain, have you evolved a philosophy that might close our interview on sort of a billowy crescendo?
Well, there's one thing I say to myself a lot lately, Fred.
What is that, Captain?
I'm glad I'm living where the only passport folks need to go to one state to another is a quarter.
Yes, it is a novelty these days to know people in two states who spend their time double-crossing a river instead of each other. And thank you a lot for this little call, Captain.
Thank you, Fred, and good night.
Good night, and thank you, Captain John J. McKay. And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen, under the astute direction of Mr. Lynn Murray, sing for you, I Love a Parade.
I love a parade. The tramping of feet, I love every beat I hear of a drum. I love a parade. When I hear a band, I just want to stand and cheer as they come. That rabbit, that, that. The blare of the horn. Uniform, the sight of a drill will give me a thrill. I thrill at the skill of anything military. I love a parade, a handful of them, a line of cadets or any brigade. For I love a parade. I'd walk every step of a mile and think it was really worthwhile to see a parade come marching down the line. I don't know a son of a gun who wouldn't be willing to run to see a parade come marching down the line. Perhaps I'm what you call a patriot, but one thing's certain, whether I am or not, da, 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 I love parades. The tramping of feet, I love every beat, I hear the drum. Da, 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 I love parades. When I hear a band, I just want to stand and cheer as they come. The blare of a horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, as I often go around saying, this is the age of speed. We streamline automobiles and trains. We do the same by Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Sullivan, not to mention Mr. Shakespeare. So any reason why we shouldn't employ the same technique with the old boy meets girl situation? Obviously not. And so we give you...
Hello.
Hello.
You're late.
Sorry.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
Cold?
Yes, so.
Listen.
What?
Sal Apatica.
Now?
Now.
How much?
2 teaspoonfuls.
How?
Water.
Why?
Listen.
Harry.
Gladly.
Because, ladies and gentlemen, Sal Hepatica gives you quick, double help in fighting colds. And a lot of spring colds not only have a habit of hanging on, but they sometimes prove serious if you neglect them. I only hope, ladies and gentlemen, that every one of you with the slightest indication of a spring cold will listen carefully to these few words. So many physicians agree that an intelligent way to get after a cold is to do two fundamental things at its very beginning. Remove accumulated wastes and help nature counteract the excess acidity that so often accompanies a cold. And Sal Hepatica is especially made to do both of these things and do them promptly.
As a laxative, Sal Hepatica is quick yet gentle. And speed is mighty important in getting after a cold. At the same time, Sal Hepatica also helps nature counteract excess acidity.
So rely on the famous double help of Sal Hepatica. Get an economical bottle at your drugstore tomorrow. Then, whenever anyone in your family starts sniffling or sneezing, show them this modern, pleasant way to get after a cold. With sparkling Sal Hepatica. Tonight will continue immediately following a brief pause for your station identification.
This is Peter Van Steeden, your swing favorite, ladies and gentlemen. Welcoming you back to the Old Town Hall. On Friday night...
Hello, Mr. Allen.
Well, Portland.
Why, it's Peter Van Steeden. What are you doing here?
Quiet, Porty. No cracks. Just keep going.
But where's Mr. Allen? Harry!
Yes, Porty. Hey, Pete, what's going on here? Where's Fred?
That's what I want to know.
I'll show Alan.
What?
He wouldn't let me announce Georgie Jessel.
Hey, oh. Come in.
Isn't that Mr. Allen?
Yes, I locked him out in the hall. I'm putting on Jessel.
Oh. Hey, open this door, somebody. I'm locked out here. Open
and
this.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to present the star of For Men Only. My favorite comedian, your favorite comedian, George Jessel.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
He kills me.
He hasn't said anything yet, Peter.
It's the way Georgie doesn't say it, though.
I'm not interrupting you, am I, Peter?
Did you get that ad lib? Oh, boy. Go ahead, Georgie.
Thanks. I want to thank Major Van Steeden for giving me this opportunity tonight. Look, Pete, if you don't give me a chance, you're going to be in a terrible pickle here, believe me.
Okay. I'll try to hold in, George. I'll stuff my script in my mouth.
That'll be fine. I'm not really prepared tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Van Steeden has called me in at the 11th hour, as he puts it, to brighten up the show.
Right, Georgie. We can make this program another For Men Only.
You don't talk on For Men Only, do you, Peter?
No, you have something there, Porter.
You kill me.
No, wait. Look, Pete, let George talk a little bit.
Hey, unlock this door, will you? What's going on in there?
Say, what was that?
It's the shadow, Georgie. The shadow rehearses in the next studio.
I see. Well, as I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Van Steeden tells me you're already getting the best music on this program, and he wants to give you something entertaining and light instead of those cut-and-dried announcements that Mr. Van Steeden says you've been getting every Wednesday through the nose of an old juggler.
Hey, who said that? I heard that. Let me in there.
Shadow's got a swell program tonight, eh? I hope he doesn't start yelling the commercials.
Oh, don't mind him, George. Give out with a joke.
Say, how about that one?
Yeah, tell him that.
Well, Pete, maybe the other one might be better.
No, with... the first one.
First one, yeah. Suppose I tell the one about the nearsighted man at the circus who mailed the letter in the front of the kangaroo.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, I'll tell it. Anyway, there was a...
Look out.
Gosh, Mr. Allen broke in the door.
Who was going to tell that joke?
Not me, Fred.
It wasn't me.
Was it you, little man? Well, Georgie, Jessel, what are you doing on the program?
Well, Van Steeden invited me over, Fred.
Why, that...
I'm gone.
Who does Van Steeden think he is?
Well, I'm terribly sorry, Fred. Pete says he was trying out a new policy, guest stars or something. I don't know.
Was trying out?
Mm.
Why, we've only got that off-key rat in here until we get our nickel piano fixed. Where is that befouler of Toscanini's profession?
Pete sneaked out, Fred.
He's gone,
yeah.
Huh? You're sure?
Yeah.
Well, now we've got a program. Say, have you met Portland and Harry, Georgie?
No, I'm glad to know you, Portland and Harry.
Glad to know you, George.
Are you in radio, Mr. Jessel?
Well, I'm not sure, Portland. I won't know till my option comes up.
Georgie's on for men only, Portland, on Tuesday night.
Yes, have you heard my new program, Portland?
No, but I've seen it listed in the papers.
Well, why didn't you tune in?
Well, it said for men only. I thought it was something private. Oh.
No, it's a nice program if I do say it myself. And it looks like I am saying it myself. However, we have some very unusual guest stars every Tuesday. A lot of mighty interesting people.
Yes, I heard it last night, Georgie. You're certainly putting on a swell show for Vitalis.
Thanks.
Gosh, Mr. Allen, aren't you mad at Mr. Jessel?
Mad? Why, Georgie and I are old friends. I've known Georgie...
Watch it, Fred. Don't make a liar out of my hair dye.
How long is it, George?
That we know each other? Uh-huh. Oh, my. I was with Gus Edwards school days. And Gus gave me some homework one night.
Oh, do you get homework with a school act?
Yes, Portland. This night, my homework was a benefit in Bridgeport.
That's right. I met you at that benefit.
Right.
Well, were you on the stage then, Fred?
Yes, I was with an act sawing a woman in half, Harry. I'll never forget the first split week we played. One half of the woman went to Waterbury and the other half laid off.
Who else was with school days, Mr. Jessel?
Well, I don't remember very well, Portland. Some fella named Cantor and another little boy that I later lost track of, Wunschel, Finchel, Wunschel, I don't remember.
You know, those names do sound familiar.
Oh, yes. Cantor's name comes up every once in a while. I wonder what he's doing. Well, it isn't important. Just something to reminisce about on a rainy day in Perth Amboy.
Cantor. You know I've heard that name someplace, George.
Yeah, well, don't rack your brain, Fred. It'll come to me later. He's probably changed along with these times that we live in. Look at Broadway. Years ago, Broadway at Hammerstein's, Rector's, Shanley's.
And what has Broadway got today?
Double features, Chinlow's Cabaret, and Sloppy Joe's Coconut Milk. You know, I can remember, Fred, when this lot, Radio City Stands On, was nothing but a cornfield.
And corn is still thriving here tonight, George.
Well, you can laugh, Fred, but later on, a theatrical boarding house is built on this corner. I used to live here. In those days, I had a tiny little room. My room was so small, if I was lying in bed and somebody opened the doorknob got in bed with me.
You know, I had a room like that on 40th Street with no doorknob. There was a cuckoo clock in my little room. Every time the cuckoo came out, his little head hit the opposite wall. Cuckoo, bang.
Oh.
I came home one night, and my cuckoo was punch drunk. Trying to get Galindo, I think.
Gee, you and Mr. Allen have come a long way since that benefit, Mr. Jessel.
Well, maybe Fred has, Portland, but I'm still playing a benefit tonight.
Hey, what's the difference, Georgie? We're here today and gone in 60 minutes.
Listen, I'm for men only, Fred. I'm gone in 30 minutes.
Really? Well, maybe Vaudeville will come back and we'll meet again someday in Bridgeport.
I don't think so, Fred. They got quite smartened up in Bridgeport, really.
Well, I don't think that you and I have any kick coming, Georgie. After all, we never had a chance to even go to college.
Who needs college? What are they learning? A boy comes home after 4 years in college, he swallowed 200 goldfish.
Yes, instead of an education today, a college graduate gets an abdominal aquarium.
I heard this afternoon that a junior at CCNY swallowed 12 herring. For this, he goes to college to swallow herring. Songwriters are doing that every half hour at Lindy's. Do you know that?
Do you know that I've seen Maxwell Stroud bolt a sturgeon in Lindy's? And Maxwell never even went to high school.
Maxwell Stroud. He's that fellow that used to be Jack Benny, isn't he, Fred?
Yes, we had the real Jack Benny on this program last week, George.
Well, I've got another surprise for you tonight, Fred. You think you've been talking to the real George Jessel?
Aren't you George Jessel?
Who wants to be George Jessel? I used to be, and it was no good.
Well, who are you? You're not Park Your Carcass.
No.
And sure. That,
and that's not written here either, but I... tell you who I am, Fred. Here's what I'll do. Listen, I'm Doc, I smoke cigars, I make speeches, I sell Vitalis, and this is my song. Now, you, Portland and Harry, see if you can guess who I am.
Well, that's fair enough, Fred.
All right, and what is the song?
Here it is.
Mystery Man. I had another line in there. You don't let me get it in.
Took out a whole page on me. Here's the song. One bright and guiding light I found in my mother's eyes.
My mother's eyes.
Yes, Fred. Now, who am I?
Al Jolson.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Say, answer that phone, will you, Portland?
All right. Hello? Who?
Who is it?
It's a lady, but I can't understand her.
Oh, that's my mother, Portland. I'll, let me take the phone. Hello? Yes, Mom? Oh, you're listening to the program? How do you like it? I should stop imitating Jolson. He's not working. Mm-hmm. What am I doing here? Well, just dropped in. No, some crazy musician thinks I'm funny. He brought me here. No, not a cent. Well, you know, vaudeville days, old friend, and Alan, I should come up. I should come right home. I will. But give your regards to Maxwell Strudel. Well, I'll tell Mr. Allen. And also tell Mr. Allen that you have a new big shelf in the house so he can send you all the products he's advertising. Okay. Good night, Mom. Look, Fred, Mama says I've got
to
go.
Well, I'm an orphan, Georgie. I've got nobody to get me out of here. And thanks a lot for popping in tonight.
Well, it's been a privilege, and thank you, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, George.
And now the Merrimacks tear a page from memory songbook and sing for us Little Liza Jane.
I got a gal and you got none, Little Liza Jane. I got a gal and you got none, Little Liza Jane.
ladies and gentlemen, I just walk around talking to myself by the hour. I'm so flabbergasted by our modern system of communication. Why, when one of my ancestors, Gargantua Allen, wanted to send a little message to the folks back home, he had to send it like this. And then in the covered wagon days, my great-uncle, Panhandle Allen, used to send his messages by Pony Express. With the coming of the telegraph, it was a little easier once you got your message squeezed into 10 words. Ah, but now we can say something mighty important to millions of people simply by standing before a microphone and saying, if you please, Harry.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you're suffering from the aching muscles or the clogged up feeling in your nose and throat that so often accompany a cold, Minute Rub, MINITRUB, is a new and better way to help bring you quick relief. Now, if you have an aching tightness in your chest muscles, pains across the back of your neck or shoulders, or that stuffed up feeling which makes breathing difficult, remember to do as many physicians and nurses advise.
Just squeeze the Minute Rub from the tube into the palm of your hand and rub it briskly on the affected area. Soon, Minute Rub's counter-irritant and pain-relieving actions, working together, help ease the pain and tightness and bring you soothing, welcome comfort. And at the same time, Minute Rub gives off effective vapors that help clear away that aggravating stuffed-up feeling in your nose and throat.
And you needn't worry about it harming your clothing or linen because it is greaseless and stainless. Once you experience the prompt soothing relief Minute Rub brings, you'll know why thousands of homes are never without it. If you want any further testimonial to its quality, remember that Minute Rub has been awarded Good Housekeeping's coveted seal of approval. So get a tube of Minute Rub at any drugstore tomorrow. It's very inexpensive. And win the thanks of your whole family when you show them this quick, modern way to help relieve the physical discomforts of a cold, to help ease aching muscles of any kind. With Minute Rub.
Mighty Alan R. plays, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight they present an episode filched from the diary of a Hollywood magnate. It's called The Studio's Plight, or The Story Was Filmed in a Cemetery, So the Picture Would Have a Plot. Overture, Arturo.
Titanic Pictures, happy bingoing. No, President Allen's in the cutting room. What's he cutting? The way business is, he's probably cutting his throat. I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Ah, good morning, Miss Real, Miss Real.
What's the idea of repeating yourself?
It's making those double features. They've got me talking that way. Now, what's first on my schedule this morning?
It says 30 seconds of deep breathing exercise.
Ah, yes. Nothing like our health-giving California ozone to start the day. Open the window.
Yes, sir.
Ah. What is that rancid overtone that tinctures the zephyr?
They're making a B picture on the next lot.
Close that window.
Yes, sir.
Gad, sniffing those B pictures will bring on my sinus. Take a note. Take a note, Miss Real. My sequel to You Can't Take It With You will be called You Can't Leave It Here.
Yes, sir. Anything else?
How is my gangster picture, Devils with Dirty Necks, coming along?
It's 3 days behind schedule.
Gad, call the dead end, kids, and tell them to get some life in their ends.
Which end?
They'll know. They will know.
Hello. It's Napra.
Oh, yes, the director of my 1940 Ice Follies. A congealed hello, Napra. A bird's eye hello. What? My new French star, Fifi LaFlamme, walked past your set. The ice melted and drowned 10 chorus boys? Why, this is terrible. Yes, I'll send out a memo instanter. Off the set, Fifi LaFlamme must wear an asbestos dirndl. Okay.
Fifi sure has oomph.
Oomph isn't the word for it, Miss Real.
The Greeks had a word for it, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, but it won't do. It won't do. Fifi LaFlamme is a glamour jackpot.
Her new picture is costing Titanic $1 million. The studio's in hock, but Fifi LaFlamme will pull us through. Buzz for Speed Mulcahy, my publicity man.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Speed. Yeah, he missed the office entirely. Send Mulcahy a memo to cut down on his velocity.
Yes, sir.
Who is this? The receivers again?
No, it's your writing staff for a title conference.
Oh, yes. The Fifi LaFlamme picture is finishing today. We have got to get a title. Show my writers in.
Yes, sir. Come in, boys.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi, hey.
Hi, boys. Count off. Ruskin.
Briskin.
Raskin. Briskin.
Smith.
Dad. A stowaway in my writing staff. Who was that?
Me. I'm the new author, F.A. Smith.
Well, you won't get anywhere in Hollywood with a name like Smith. From now on, you're Smithkin. Kin is important in Hollywood.
Okay, F.A.
Now, boys, get those $1,500 a week brains to work. Titanic Pictures is in a quandary.
Sounds great, Chief.
I'm not telling you a story idea. This is a crisis.
Sorry, F.A., I wasn't listening.
Well, pay attention, Briskin.
I'm Braskin. There's Briskin.
Oh, I'm not Briskin. I'm Riskin.
I'm Riskin. You're Raskin.
That's right. I'm Raskin. I thought I was Briskin.
Well, get yourself straightened out, boys. Who's who around here?
I'm Smith.
You're who?
Sorrow. I'm Smithkin.
Now, attention, all five of you. This is a conference.
Oh, conference.
Yes, a conference. Well, we need a title for my new Fifi LaFlamme picture.
Fifi's first picture was Spy Meets Girl.
Right.
Then she made Boy Meets Spy.
Exactly. Fifi LaFlamme has made 27 spy pictures on this lot. And her new picture, by a strange coincidence, is another spy epic. Now, you boys have got to come through with a title.
Well, you can count on Raskin, F.A.
I thought you were Riskin.
Yeah, I'm Riskin. I'm sitting next to Brass.
Who's Braskin? I'm Briskin.
I'm Braskin.
I'm Smithkin.
You keep out of this. Any more of this patronymic bedlam, and I'm going to put numbers on all of you.
Okay, F.A.
Now concentrate, boys. Let me hear that gray matter perking. We need a title for Fifi LaFlamme. We've done Boy Meets Spy. Spy meets girl. Spy meets boy who met girl. Girl meets spy who knew boy.
I've got it. I've got it. How about Spy Meets Spy?
Terrific. What is the consensus, boys?
Terrific.
You'll get a raise for this, Braskin.
He ain't Braskin, he's Riskin.
Yeah, it was my idea. I'm Raskin.
How can you be Raskin when you're sitting next to Briskin?
Who's Briskin? I'm Braskin.
Yeah, I'm the guy who used to be Smith.
You get the raise, Smithkin.
Thanks.
You're the only one I can keep track of.
Wait a minute. I'm calling the screenwriters.
Get out, all of you.
That was my idea.
Get out, Braskin.
I'm Riskin.
I'm Braskin.
I'm Briskin.
And I'm asking, will you get out of here?
Okay,
Gad, Miss Real, these boys are dynamite. Spy meets spy. Gad, what a title.
It isn't bad backwards, either.
No, it isn't now. Save a lot of marquee trouble later in the season. My new Fifi LaFlamme masterpiece will pull Titanic out of the hole. Buzz for Speed Mulcahy, my publicity man.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Speed. Gad, he missed the office again. Speed ought to have breaks. What is that paper you're studying there, Miss Reel?
This is an out-of-town exhibitor's report.
Oh, let me see it. Rat Hole, Nebraska. Your society epic, Get Out of Town Before It's Too Late, didn't. The picture is still here. The audience took my theater out of town. Yeah.
That left Flam picture better be good.
Spy meets spy can't miss, Miss Reel. Buzzspeed Mulcahy.
What's the use? He always misses your office.
I'll stop him this time. I'll lock this other door. There. Now buzz for my publicity man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my head.
I knew I'd trap you, Mulcahy.
Oh, yes, sir. What is it, F.A.?
Mulcahy, I'm giving my new Fifi LaFlamme picture the gun.
Okay, Chief, what's the threat?
Spy meets spy.
Unnatural. I'll tie into the French angle. We'll preview the picture in the French consul's office. We'll serve French pastry in 2,000 theater lobbies. We'll send out postcards.
Great!
Postcards
great, with stamps on them. But keep your advertising budget down to $1 million, Mulcahy.
Right. I'll sell America a bill of goods.
And that bill of goods is...
Fifi LaFlamme. Slow!
Even a sight laugh is no good anymore. Mulcahy's doing a whale of a job, Miss Real.
He hasn't started yet, has he?
I'm looking ahead. What are those plates on my desk there?
While you were talking, your lunch came in from the commissary.
Ah, pancakes and sausages. My favorite snack. Gad, these pancakes look good. Hello? What? Fifi LaFlamme's father? Well, show him in. Open that door, Miss Real.
Yes, sir. Entree, monsieur.
Ah, Monsieur LaFlamme. Come in, n'est-ce pas?
Quit the double talk, and who are you calling LaFlamme?
Well, if you're Fifi LaFlamme's father, surely your name is LaFlamme.
My name's Sam Glutz.
What?
And that name you're calling Fifi LaFlamme is my no-good daughter Petunia. Petunia Glutz.
Petunia Glutz? No.
Yeah, yeah, and if that ain't enough, she's from Brooklyn.
No, no, not that.
Not only that, she's from Greenport.
Oh, oh. But Fifi's voice, her accent.
What accent? She rehearsed that phony French voice around the house for a year. She found a passport and come out to Hollywood and palmed herself off as a French flugy.
This is inspired poppycock. Buzz Fifi LaFlamme's portable dressing room, Miss Real. We'll scotch this dastardly canard in Stanter.
Yes, sir.
I tell you, she's my own daughter. She was a hostess in a chili joint in Brooklyn.
We'll soon see.
If I don't get paid off, I'm telling the world.
Here, here, stop eating my lunch. Put down that pancake.
Oh, la, la. You send for Fifi, mon petit cabbage?
Yes, Fifi. Take a good look at this man.
Hi, Petunia.
Pardon, hillbilly.
Do you know this illiterate interloper?
Oh, Fifi no comprend pas. Parlez-vous français, monsieur?
Quit kidding, Petunia.
Intimidation won't work, Glutz. I told you Fifi LaFlamme was an authentic mademoiselle.
Oh, yeah? Well, I say she's from Brooklyn. I can put it to the test and prove it. Hey, Fifi.
Oui, monsieur?
The Giants have got a good team this year, ain't they?
The Giants have a Giants? The Dodgers can take them Giants any day.
Fifi!
I told you, Alan. No Brooklynite could withstand that test.
Okay, so I am from Brooklyn, and this tramp is me, old man. So what?
So this. Either I'm getting $10,000 or I'm blabbing.
Blackmail. By any other color is blackmail. But I haven't got $10,000. Titanic's every penny is tied up in Fifi's new picture, Spy Meets Spy.
Okay, then I'll settle for a job around the studio.
A job. Now, let me see. I might make you a supervisor.
I graduated grammar school.
No, that's out. That's out, then. I'm afraid you're too well educated for any job here in Hollywood.
Oh, stalling, huh? Okay, then I'm blabbing. Which way is Winchell?
But you'll ruin Fifi's future. Titanic will collapse.
You can't do this to me, Pop, your own daughter.
Oh, no, just watch me.
Why, you blackmailing double-crosser? Take this.
Fifi, my lunch.
Oh!
Ted, my lunch is a caloric shambles.
I'm a mess. This pancake is stuck in me hair.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it, Glutz. An inspiration. I've got just the job for you.
Yeah?
I'm signing you as a director.
But I don't know nothing about directing.
You'll be a genius, Glutz. Look at that pancake on his head, Fifi. What does it look like?
A beret.
Right. And any man who looks that well in a beret is bound to be the greatest director in Hollywood. Titanic is saved. Gentlemen, before we let the skeleton of next week's show out of the town hall closet, I'd just like to leave you with this one thought. If you've enjoyed tonight's program, you can sit right down and write yourself a letter, a fan letter, because after all, these programs are your doings. They're all made possible by your friendliness and your faithful use of our famous products.
Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. Ipana... Sal Hepatica.
Thank you, Harry. And may we remind you, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, Town Hall Tonight brings you business advice.
Here's how you can get your business going like a house afire.
Touch a match to it.
your song of the week.
Just a little love, a little hug. I would give
John
this.
Charles, that's just a little love, a little kiss, isn't it?
My girl's got chapped lips.
People you didn't expect to meet.
The hat check girl at the Stork Club. Meet a girl who has handed out more toppers than any radio comedian. Check with her next Wednesday.
And music. Good night. Thank you.
The selection, It's All Yours, is from the production Stars in Your Eyes. This is the National Broadcasting Company.